But what I'd like us to do now is to turn to Scripture and to read the passage that we're going to be looking at this evening. We are, of course, continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer, but the passage that we're looking at is not the verses from the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35 is where I'll be reading from now. So if you've got your Bibles open, if you could turn to those verses, that would be great. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive a brother or sister from your heart." Amen. Let's pray before we open up and read into those words and see what it can teach us and what we can learn. Father God, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for the challenge of Scripture, the challenge that we have to unpack it and to work out what you are trying to speak to us through. I pray, Lord God, as we look at this passage, this challenging, difficult passage, that you would open our eyes and our hearts. Lord, that you would show us where we need to change. You'd help us to have the humility to be able to stand back and to let go of things that we need to let go of, to change in areas where we need to change, and to recognize our need for you in each and every situation. Amen. Okay, let me just move slightly, because I would like to just have a little bit more room. Fantastic. Okay, so as I said, we're looking at and we're carrying on our series from Matthew chapter 6 on the Lord's Prayer. So we're looking at this, the passage, which actually, if you've got your Bibles and can just flick forward to Matthew chapter 6 to give us a little picture of where we are and what's going on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Says, "And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." And then in verse 14 and 15 it says, "For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Actually, as I started to grapple with that, I realised actually how challenging those words are, and it was starting to rub against me a little bit as I was reading those words. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So much of that started to challenge me, because I thought, oh well, I thought God always forgave us, no matter what. And so we're going to address that issue hopefully a little bit, and look at some other, or two key points that I want to mention. So the two key points are these. I'm mentioning them right at the start so you know exactly what I'm trying to say and where I'm trying to go. Firstly, remove adult pride. This is about being forgiven. You know, when we talk about what it means to be forgiven, I want us to just look into adult pride. And I think Jesus addresses this significantly in this passage and throughout scripture, throughout the gospels. And the second key point, if you are counting, you have not forgiven. If you are counting, you have not forgiven. And this is the other side, about being people who are willing to forgive others. So the first point, remove adult pride. You know, if you're still on that passage of Matthew chapter 6, before Jesus tells them how to pray, Jesus talks about other people who are praying, those who are babbling on the street corners, those who are making a big thing of it, a big meal of their prayers, those who are standing up and basically saying, "Look at me, aren't I great? What a great prayer I am." And I don't know if you can remember the moment when you first heard others praying, or maybe not even the first time, the first kind of few years of your understanding of Christian things, and you start to hear people pray. Do you know, I know for me there were moments where I felt quite inadequate. And I know that says a lot probably about me as much as anyone else, but there are those moments when perhaps you're in a small group with a few others and people are praying, and they're praying these great prayers and they're using brilliant words, and you know, it all seems to flow nice and neatly together, and you kind of sit there and just think, my prayers just aren't like that. My prayers really aren't good enough. My prayers aren't great. And you can actually feel, whether you are it or not, you can feel quite childlike in that moment. You look at others and you see, wow, they've got such mature prayers, such deep and great prayers, and yet my prayers feel so childlike and so weak and so simple. You know, that passage, I'm just flicking between these two passages here. So Matthew 18, the passage that I read just earlier, right before Jesus talks about the unmerciful servant, Jesus has this moment in Matthew chapter 18, right at the beginning, where it says this: "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And what did Jesus do? He called a little child whom he placed among them, and he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.'" You know, Jesus does this time and again throughout the Gospels. He said, you know what, you've got to be like little children. Be like little children in your prayers, but be like little children in the way you choose to forgive others as well. Be like children in the way you choose to say sorry. I had to do it just in the last week. I recognised, it happens quite often with me, recognised that I'd been in error, and knew that there was a moment where I was going to have to speak to someone and apologise and just say sorry, I got it wrong. I made a mistake. I messed up. But you know, so much of us in our adult pride is what I've called it, is we tend to want to hold back from saying sorry. We tend to want to kind of fight the urge. Or even accepting others and all their faults as well. You know, we hold grudges, we keep account on others' wrongs. We lose perspective on what's really important. Because so much is built up on our status or the position that we hold or the position that we're trying to hold or assume in life. And yet actually Jesus says, no, do you know what? You need to come to one another like children and have that attitude where we're willing to forgive and be forgiven. You know, God's not impressed with the great and mighty prayer. And God's not impressed with those babblers on the street corners. God's impressed with honesty and truth. God's impressed with people who are willing to go to him first of all and recognize their faults, recognize that they're not perfect, that we get it wrong. God's impressed with people who are willing to go to others and say sorry when we've made mistakes. Say sorry when things aren't exactly as we would have liked them to be. To strip back the pride that so easily holds us back. And I think it holds us back from living the kind of life that God has in store for us. When we choose not to say sorry. I recognise that this topic's quite heavy, so I thought I'd try and lighten it up a little bit, and I've got a short clip which I'm hoping is going to work. I kind of jumped this on Tim last minute, but knowing what a skilled, amazing guy he is on all technical stuff, I had utmost faith that he can do it. So it's about 4 or 5 minutes long, and it is actually the story that we've just read. But to give you a bit of background behind it, it's acted by adults, but it's the story of the unmerciful servant told from the perspective of children. So I think Tim's going to give it a go, and we'll see if this works.
Go ahead. said, "Okay, I will forgive you. And then the servant said, "Thank you, you're the best king ever!" And he went jumping up and down. And then when he went outside, he saw somebody who owed him a little bit of money. He grabbed him by the neck and shaked him around and said, "You will owe me all that money that you owe me. Stop talking." Then the big old man told the little guy to pay him. "You will pay me $1,020 or else you will be thrown in jail." Then he said,
finish it there, because it's about 2 minutes of them in jail, and it kind of goes a bit crazy at that point, but you get the gist, hopefully, from that point. Actually, the point that I'm trying to draw from that a little bit as well is the whole, just going back to the whole thing, that Jesus calls us to be like children. Jesus calls us to have that same attitude, that same desire to be willing to forgive others and to be forgiven ourselves. Okay, next, the second point that I had, and I think, do you know, I think this is the key point that Jesus is making in Matthew 18. If you're still counting, you have not forgiven. If you're still counting, you've not forgiven. Peter comes to Jesus. And as you know, my background's in maths. I love numbers, okay? And I've spent a lot of time, I know this sounds really sad, but I've spent a lot of time looking at the significance of numbers in the Bible. It's a great thing, great fun thing to do. And Peter comes to Jesus and he says, "How many times should we forgive? Should we forgive 7 times? And Peter's trying to be a little bit clever here, because 7 in Bible terms is the perfect number. So Peter's saying, should we forgive 7 times? You know, that would be a really good number of times to be able to forgive. And if you've ever wondered, if you ever thought about whether Jesus has a good sense of humour or likes to have a laugh on other people or trick people or whatever, this is the passage that you need to turn to, because I love how Jesus responds to Peter in this moment. Because Peter's come to Jesus with this kind of clever little play on the numbers thing, and Jesus just blows Peter out of the water with his response. Jesus responds with a story. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king." And if you read the original, it talks not about 10,000 bags of gold, but 10,000 talents is the language it uses. So Jesus says, There's this man, and he owes the king 10,000 talents. It's like that, the moment when a child tries to think of the largest number they can possibly think of. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen it, where two children, we get it in our house, we used to get it a lot more than we do now, they're a bit bigger, some of them. Where two children will fight it off with one another about who can say the biggest number they can possibly think of. So they go, 300 million. And then the other one goes, 300 million and one. And then we'll hit a new realm of large numbers. So it'll be like a billion, trillion, gazillion. And you end up with words that are not even real numbers in any way, shape or form. You know, Jesus almost goes that far in this passage. Jesus says, a man owes the king 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents is approximately £6 billion, if you put it in today's money. 10,000 talents is about £6 billion. Jesus says, there's this man, he owes the king £6 billion. You know, when you first read it, it almost feels like the king's a little bit harsh. Because the king's first response is, well, then you're going to have to go to prison. You know, you're going to have to, you're going to have to go be sold as slaves. You, your wife and your children. Well, now if you understand that he owes £6 billion to this king, well, that is quite a huge amount of money. In fact, it's a number that's beyond their imagining. It's a number that actually goes beyond their whole comprehension. It's not something they can really fully fathom. They're like, wow, that's just way, way more than you could ever think of. £6 billion. Jesus is saying that the debt that this man owed is beyond our imagining. There's no way he can ever repay it. There is nothing that he could ever do, even in his whole lifetime, that can ever fully, properly repay it. He owes his life. He doesn't deserve his life because of how much he owes. He owes such a huge amount. You know, something that's quite topical, which I've been thinking about recently, is about the Boston bomber and the whole thing of punishment by death, whether that's a suitable punishment for a crime. Because I know a lot of people who think about all that went on, if you know the story of the Boston Marathon, and this man's now been sentenced to death. A lot of people would be saying, yeah, that's a just sentence for what he's done. Yeah, he deserves to pay for what he's done. His crime has gone beyond a lot of our imagination. You know, it's way out there. He owes a huge, huge debt. Yeah, actually, the parallel that Jesus is drawing here is clear. You know, we owe a huge amount to God. When we come and stand before God, the debt that we have is beyond our imagining. The debt that we owe to God is something that we cannot pay back. We don't have the ability to pay it back. We owe too much. It's not a number that we can fathom or a number that we can pick on and say, well, this is the amount. We can't even consider to think that it's as much even as the servant in this story or the Boston bomber. Because what we have done, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died for that very purpose, for us. We sang that song, Amazing Grace, just earlier, didn't we? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. You see, the reality is that we don't deserve to be let off. We don't deserve to be excused for what we have done. Yet just like the king here in this story, God says, you know what? I'm not going to count this against you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to let you go for that debt that you owe, for that amazing amount that you owe me. And so it follows. If we are children of God, of the living God, who has set us free because he has chosen to give us the forgiveness that we don't deserve, because he has chosen to let us off the huge debt that we owe him, therefore, when we come to our brother or sister who owes us 100 silver coins, a tiny amount, how should our response be? How do we respond? You see, it's not about the amount of times we have to come to someone and forgive them. It's about the fact that we have a great God who has done it all. He's paid the price. He's done it for us. And so every time we need to forgive. Because that's what God has done for us. That's the price he's paid for us. You see, absolutely the key point that Jesus is making in this passage is that if you are counting, you have not forgiven. If you're counting the debts, if you're counting the times that people are repaying back, then you've not forgiven. You've not even forgiven the first one. And so, as we kind of pull this together, as we kind of conclude this bit on forgiveness, there's a couple of questions that I want to leave you with. We've looked at the fact that God calls for us to be forgiven, to go and say sorry, to apologize where we need to apologize, to recognize our faults, and to go to those with whom we owe it to them to say sorry. And at the same time, to not count others' sins against them and to forgive where we have been forgiven. And so the two questions that I want to leave you with, and we're going to just have a pause before we sing our final song because I want us to have an opportunity to reflect, are these. Is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone that you need to go to and forgive? For what they've done, for how they've wronged you, for something that they've said, for a situation that's gone on that that they need to receive forgiveness for. And secondly, and possibly harder, is there someone that you need to say sorry to? Is there something that you've done to someone and you need to apologize? You need to be big enough and bold enough and brave enough to go to them and just say, you know, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. I messed up. And so let's just pause for a moment and then I'll pray at the end and then we'll have our final song, just as an opportunity for us to think and consider those two questions. Father God, we first of all come to you and ask for your forgiveness. We recognize our weakness before you, our inability, and our And the times that we get it wrong, the times that we fail and fall short of your perfect standard. Lord, we are sorry. We're also sorry, Lord, when we've not forgiven others, when we've not been gracious enough to look at other people and recognize our need to forgive. Father, help us. Lord, just like the story of the unmerciful servant, Lord, we come to you on our knees, pleading with you for forgiveness, recognizing our need once again for you. So, Lord, for everyone in this room, if there are people that we need to see, if there are situations that need to be finished off and dealt with, I pray, Lord God, that you'd give us the boldness and the courage to do that. Give us the strength and the confidence to go up to people and to settle our account, to say sorry if we need to say sorry, to forgive where we need to forgive. And Father, in those times, may your name be glorified. Amen.